Welcome again to the program, In the Beginning. I'm Drew Hanninger, and as a born-again Christian, I've studied the Bible for many years. And today on this program, we want to look specifically at one book in the Bible, and that is the book that concludes the entire Bible, the climax of the Bible, and that is the book of Revelation. Now, I realize, and some of you, and also even myself, the first time I read that book, it was just mysterious. There were so many things going on, so many details, so many shadows and types and figures of speech and signs and kind of prophecies and all kinds of things going on that it's just, you just get lost in a forest of so many things. But what we want to do today is look at this book, and we want to answer a question. And the question we want to answer is this: what is the focus of this book? What is the emphasis of this book? Because if we understand the prevailing theme, the emphasis of this book, then this will unlock the understanding of this book. So we're going to get into that today. Now, what is the emphasis of this book, the book of Revelation? What is it all about? When you read it casually, and I really encourage you to read the book, just chapter by chapter, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22. But when you read it, there's so many things going on. And today there's a lot of books about the book of Revelation, and there's a lot of lectures and themes, and even today there's a lot of interest in that book, because that book covers, what, the end times, a lot of things that are yet going to happen, a lot of prophecy that's not yet fulfilled. But listen, that's not the emphasis of that book. And another reason that people read that book is because it has details about raptures and about the Antichrist and about the New Jerusalem. And a lot of other kinds of things are going on in that book that are kind of interesting. And there's God's judgment on the world and God's judgment on different things. But listen, that is not the emphasis of that book. And if we get lost in those details, we will miss the central point. And in fact, we won't know how to put all those things together. So listen, the question is, what is the focus? What is the emphasis? If it's not the raptures, if it's not God's judgment on the world, if it's not the tribulation, if it's not the Antichrist, and all these things, then what is the focus of this book? This book, the book of Revelation, begins with a phrase. And in the Greek, I like to read it in the Greek, because a lot of times the articles and prepositions are missing there. Of course, you can supply them, but you get the meat of what it's saying there. And the first three words in the Greek are as follows, translating into English: Revelation, and then Jesus, and then Christ. The first three words of that book, Revelation, Jesus Christ. This book, the central point of this book, the book of Revelation, is what? It's not the tribulation. It's not the raptures, although those things are mentioned. Listen, the focus of this book is Jesus Christ. And it's a revelation. Now, the word revelation means an unveiling or an uncovering. In other words, you would ask the question, who is Jesus? And this book answers that question. It talks about a person named Jesus Christ. So listen, the focus of this book, the emphasis of this book, is a person. And that person's name is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Now you think, well, the book begins that way. But listen, the book also ends that way. The last phrase or the last verse of the whole book is as follows. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And even just before that, there's another phrase, and it says, and it's actually a kind of prayer, and in fact, it's the last prayer of the entire Bible. And that prayer is as follows, and it's very short. You know, sometimes we hear long prayers, and we even encourage people to give long prayers in churches and things like that. But listen, there's a very short, concise prayer at the end of that book, and the prayer is as follows: Come, Lord Jesus. So listen, what is the focus of that book? The focus of the book of Revelation, the emphasis of that book, is none other than a person. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. Now, we're saying that the focus of this book, the book of Revelation, is Jesus Christ. And to emphasize it just a little bit, what I'd like to do is go through real quickly some of the places in that book, not only at the beginning of the book and the end of the book, but even through that book. And actually, what I would really suggest you do, if you have the time, is to read that book through. And what I did, and I didn't bring it with me here, but I used a computer printout, printed out the entire book of Revelation in small print, so I could get it on six, 8.5 by 11 pages. And what I was going to go do is go through with a marker pen and mark up all the times that Jesus Christ is mentioned in that book. Not only directly as the name Jesus and Christ, but listen, there are many types and shadows and signs about that person Christ. For instance, he's the Lamb of God. And the word Lamb, the Lamb of God, is mentioned several times in that book. In chapter 1, he's the high priest. And also, he's the one that what? Shed his blood for our sins. That's just in chapter 1. And even in chapter 1, there's many descriptions of Christ. Then if you go through, reading through into chapters 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, there's seven letters to seven churches. And if you look carefully at those seven letters, at the beginning of each one of them is something, an aspect about Jesus Christ. For instance, he's the one that loves the churches. He's walking among the churches. That means he loves us. And also, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And if you say he's the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first Greek letter and the last Greek letter, then that means that he's also all the letters in between, which means whatever you need of Christ, Christ is. If you need patience, Christ is patience. Anyway, let's get back to the book of Revelation here. So in chapter 2 and 3, if you look just at the beginning, the first one or two sentences of each of those seven little epistles or letters there in chapter 2 and 3, you'll find the descriptions of Christ. Then you go on to chapters 5 and 6, and there he's the Lamb of God. Even he's the worthy Lamb of God. And then later in the book, he's the one riding on the white horse. And he has other names. For instance, at one point, he's called the Word of God. It says his name is called the Word of God. And that's quite interesting because in John, chapter 1 of John, John 1:1, which, by the way, the Gospel of John was also written by John, of course, as the book of Revelation and the epistles were. John 1:1, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word. And that word there is referring to Christ. Well, here in the book of Revelation, he's called what? He's called the Word of God. So, listen, through the book of Revelation, and I'm only hitting a couple of them, I would encourage you to go through the book of Revelation. Look for all the times Jesus is mentioned. Jesus Christ is mentioned. The Lamb of God. The High Priest. The one riding on the white horse whose name is called the Word of God. The one who has a sword coming out of his mouth. Okay, so anyway, I would really encourage you to go through this book and look at the phrase Jesus Christ in that entire book. Now let's come back to the focus of this book, the book of Revelation. The focus and the central theme of this book is a person, and that person's name is Jesus Christ. And that means to really understand this book and to put all the pieces of this book together in a way that makes sense with understanding and so on, you need to understand that the key, the central point, and the focus of this book is a person. It's not a theology. It's not just knowing some principles about tribulation and Antichrist and raptures and God's judgment on the world and all kinds of things like that, and knowing about the New Jerusalem and so on. But listen, if you don't know Jesus, you really can't understand this book. Now, I realize, you know, mentally, academically, you could go through the book, you could outline it, you could go through all the principles and the prophecies, you could probably divide it up into different kinds of sections and so on, and you could look at the tribulation, and you could look at the Antichrist, and you could compare it with the book of Daniel and the book of Matthew and Thessalonians and so on. And a lot of people do this, and I encourage you to do this. And you can get a lot of understanding there. But still, what you end up with is a lot of pieces that you just don't know how they go together. The key to understanding this book is not a theology or an understanding. You see, theology means theos. Ology means the study of God. It means you know about God. But listen, you need to know God in a real way. And the way you know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And without knowing Him in a real way, number one, you're regenerated. Number two, you're saved. You're born again. And you're walking with Him. Without that kind of a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you really cannot understand this book. The book will just be details and things, and you'll be discussing and debating, well, when does the tribulation happen? When does the Antichrist come? What happens to the Antichrist? And how do the present world situation and the wars and the rumors of wars and past wars and future ones coming up, how does all that fit in? How does Israel fit in? How does the United States fit in? And you're trying to put all this together. But listen, if you don't have the focus, the primary focus of this book, which is Jesus Christ, and that means knowing Him in a real way in your life, in your experience, you just can't get this book. You may think you get the book. You can outline it, and you can get commentaries on it. And I've got a lot of them myself, and I've got tapes and messages and so on that book. But listen, the key to understanding that book is a person. And that person's name is Jesus Christ. Now, this book of Revelation, the theme of this book is a person, Jesus Christ. Now, I realize maybe not all of you, but even in my past, when I studied this book, it seemed like the predominant thing was like the Antichrist, or was the tribulation, or was the rapture. And even my motive and my understanding, the first time I read the book was, hey, I want to understand this book so I can find out, you know, when is this guy called the Antichrist supposed to come? And when does the tribulation come? And do Christians get raptured before the tribulation or after or during or both? And how does all this work out? And I was looking for answers to those questions. And because I was looking for those answers, and I looked through the book of Thessalonians and Matthew and Daniel in the Old Testament and a lot of other places, I read through commentaries, and I just felt like that book was just closed, like it was just a mysterious book. What is this book? And a lot of people, to them, they don't like to read it. I mean, they're good because they like to read through the entire Bible, but when they get to the book of Revelation, it's like, well, this book is really mysterious. But let me encourage you with just one little thing, and that is a comment that a person made, and this was some time ago, and that is, it's good just to read the Bible, read it through, even though you don't understand it. You come to a section that just, you don't understand it, listen, that's okay, read it anyway, because the Holy Spirit can use the words of the Bible when they're in our memory. So it's good sometimes just to read the words of the Bible. So my understanding of the book of Revelation was somewhat limited because my focus was, well, I want to know when Jesus Christ is coming back to set up His kingdom. And I want to know, how do I recognize the Antichrist when He comes? And do Christians have to go through the tribulation or not go through the tribulation? And these are big subjects and topics that we can get into and lots of details. And it's interesting, when you study the Bible on those particular topics and you try to put together a sequence of events, most Christians agree on most events, but still, it's hard to put together all the pieces of the puzzle. But listen, when I got a perspective and I began to realize through my own reading and also through some other ministries that the focus of the book of Revelation was not, you know, are Christians going to get through the tribulation? Or when do the raptures happen? Or what kind of person is the Antichrist going to be? And how many nations is he going to rule over in the European area and so on like that? When I realized that, and I realized that the focus was a person, Jesus Christ, that helped me at least to open up that entire book. I realize today it's popular because according to Bible prophecy, at the end times, some man is going to rise up and rule some of the nations, and for a while he's going to be kind of a good guy and bring in peace. And then he's going to have kind of a flip or a turn. And in that turn, he's going to turn against Israel. And that time will be very bad on the earth. And not only that, not only will we have the Antichrist, but you'll have a lot of bad things happening on the earth, a lot of tribulation, a lot of earthquakes, and there's a lot of things mentioned there. And everybody wants to know, what are the sequence of events? And somewhat popular today is the thought that most Christians will get saved or raptured or delivered from all this tribulation that's going to happen on the earth. So when our emphasis is tribulation, earthquakes, and rapture, and calamities that are happening are going to happen on the earth, both natural, like earthquakes, and supernatural things. If you read some of those things, mysterious things, now some people think they're like signs, other people think they're literal, and well, I'm not trying to get into that discussion, whether they're literal or signs or whatever like that, but the point is all kinds of things are going to happen. Why? Because God is kind of judging the earth and God is kind of cleaning up things. But listen, as long as our focus is on earthquake, our focus is on rapture, tribulation, or getting out of the tribulation or whatever, we are going to miss the whole point. And the point of that book is a person, Jesus Christ. And you need to know Him and you need to walk with Him. And if our perspective is not lined up correctly, then tribulation, rapture, earthquakes, Babylon, New Jerusalem, all those subjects that are covered in that book just become kind of isolated things and you don't know how they all fit together. But listen, when you have the proper angle and the proper perspective, then all the things line up. Another subject that's covered in the book of Revelation is the subject of the Antichrist, which is a man that becomes a political leader and so on. And I don't want to get into all the details. And a lot of people are really curious about this guy. And you have to study the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. You have to go through the book of Matthew and Thessalonians and a few other books in the book of Revelation. And you can gather a whole list of items about this guy. And I realize a lot of times it's good to focus on a particular subject or topic in the Bible to have an understanding there. And so you come up with 19 or 20 or 40 or 50 points about this particular person. But listen, let's look at the perspective of the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there's a lot of things happening. And this man of sin, the Antichrist, he comes on the scene at a certain point. And then, guess what? He exits. He gets thrown into the lake of fire by Jesus Christ. So in a sense, you'd say this guy, yes, he's going to be a big leader. He's going to do something on the earth. People are going to know who he is and so on like that. And it says that the elect will be deceived by him and so on. But eventually, this guy gets defeated. Now, before we conclude this kind of an overview or bird's eye view of the book of Revelation, I want to cover a few what I call crucial matters in the book of Revelation. And I realize that most people, when they study the book of Revelation, they may not look at these particular matters because we get distracted with lots of things in there, lots of details and things that are yet to come and so on like that. But I want to cover specifically three points that are mentioned and covered in the book of Revelation, and I think they're very important. And that is, number one, the matter of prayer. Number two, the matter of the Word of God. And three, the matter of obedience to the Lord. These three matters, I believe, are very crucial. Now, you have to excuse me. I'm going to kind of read my notes here. But what I want to do is go through several passages in the book of Revelation and point out these three matters of prayer, the Word of God, and obedience. Okay, first of all, the matter of prayer. In Revelation 3, it says that incense is offered with the prayers of the saints. And the point I want to make about this verse is that God remembers prayer and God answers prayer. And here in the book of Revelation, something is added to your prayers. In other words, sometimes a lot of times we pray and it's just a small prayer or just a desire that we express before the Lord, which is prayer. And we're not sure, well, did God really hear this, and so on and so forth. But listen, the book of Revelation says that something gets added to your prayer. So never think that your prayer is not important. Okay, then we have a prayer, an example of two prayers in the book of Revelation. At one point it says,
How long, O sovereign Lord? And these are people that are crying out, looking at the situation on the earth and saying, boy, there's a lot of problems here. God, when are you going to do something about this situation? Okay, that is an example of prayer in the book of Revelation. Okay, and the second prayer is almost the last portion of that book. And it says it this way. It's a very short prayer, and I think it may be the shortest prayer in the Bible. I'm not real sure. I have to check that out. It says, come, Lord Jesus. Now, some people might think, well, that's just kind of like a little shout of joy at the end of the Bible or something. But listen, when you read the book of Revelation, and you realize that the central point of that book is a person, Jesus Christ, then you realize, and when you realize that he's coming again in his second coming, listen, we need to pray, come, Lord Jesus. And the desire of the Apostle John, after putting down all the chapters in that book, 22 chapters, of course, when he wrote it, you realize that they didn't have chapters at that time. It was just one big long book. And since then, translators and people have divided it up into chapters and verses. But anyway, in that last chapter there, John says, or John prays, come, Lord Jesus. Now, one important point about that prayer is that when our life is not right with God, it's hard to pray that kind of prayer. But listen, that's a good prayer to pray. Okay, enough for the matter of prayer. Let's continue here in the book of Revelation, and we're talking about 3 points: prayer, the Word of God, and obedience. Now, I want to go through the book of Revelation with the matter of the Word of God. Now, you think, well, what does the book of Revelation have to do with the Word of God? Well, look at these verses. First of all, in the first chapter, in the second verse there, it says, John, who testified the Word of God. John was a person that was testifying not of his own thought, not of his own perception, but he was testifying or speaking concerning the Word of God. Then in the next verse there, and actually verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads and hears the words of the prophecy. In other words, there's a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. And there's a blessing in hearing the words of that book. Then John says that he was on the island of Patmos. He was exiled at that time. But he said he was not there moaning and groaning, or he was not worried about the church situation, which wasn't doing that good. But listen, John said that he was there because of the Word of God. That's very important, because of the Word of God. Then, also in chapter 1 there, it says that there's a description of Jesus Christ. And John is seeing kind of a vision of who Christ is. And in that vision there, one of the points about that was that out of his mouth was proceeding a sharp two-edged sword. Now you think, well, what does this have to do with the Word of God? Well, when you look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. So this sword proceeding out of his mouth figuratively must refer to the Word of God. I want to continue with the matter of the Word of God, or the point or principle about the Word of God in the book of Revelation. Let me read here out of Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I really like that verse. His name, that is the name of Jesus, is called the Word of God. Okay, then, two little verses down, it says, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and so on, and rule with a rod of iron. But the point is here, from his mouth comes a sharp sword. So here you have his name called the Word of God, and then it says again, out of his mouth. Now this is the second time in the book of Revelation where it talks about, figuratively speaking, a sword coming out of his mouth. And again, I go right back to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, where it talks about the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. And not only that, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, let's read that portion here. Okay, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and this ties in with Jesus Christ being the Word of God, and with a sharp sword coming out of his mouth, and out of the book of Ephesians there, where it says that talks about the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. Here in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces as far as dividing," what? Soul and spirit, "and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart." So here you have a very important verse, I think, in the entire New Testament, which ties in with the book of Revelation. Why? Because at the end times, we need, more than any other time, the Word of God. The Word of God does several things. Number one, it's living. It's not a dead book. A lot of people say, well, the Bible is old-fashioned and it's dead, and they say all kinds of things like this. But listen, if you read this book, you'll find out it's a fresh, living, real book. And then it says it's active, and it's able to divide soul and spirit, and it's even able to judge the thoughts and intents of our heart. Okay, let's continue on in the book of Revelation. We're covering 3 points: the matter of prayer, the Word of God, and obedience. Now, we come to the last point, which is the matter of obedience in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 3, if you get my notes here, chapter 3, verse 8, it talks about keeping my word. And that means what? Obedience to the Word of God. Then, a real important verse, and this is one of my favorite here, in Revelation chapter 14. And let me read this one to you. It says, and John is seeing a vision of some people, and the angel or the Lord is describing who these people are. He says, "These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins." Okay, but here's the important point. "These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb." So John is seeing a vision of some people, and he's saying, who are these people? And God is saying what? These are the ones who have followed the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ. So these are the ones who have followed Jesus Christ. That means what? And using some other words in the New Testament, I would say walking with God, walking in the Spirit, obeying the Lord. I even like that little passage, and I can't remember where it is exactly right now, where it says that God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. So obedience in the Bible and obedience in the book of Revelation is very important. I'd like to encourage you to read the book of Revelation. Don't try to figure out all the facts and how everything fits together and so on like that. But listen, there is a blessing in just reading that book. But if you would like an outline, a kind of a study outline to the book of Revelation that we used in preparing this little program, you can write to me and request it. It's free, of course. And you can write to Drew Hanninger, Post Office Box 12124, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85267.